And youngins, I think you guys will get a lot out of this. If you can try to discipline yourselves and pay attention, I think you'll be amazed at the stories we have to tell. Because what we'd like to do this morning, between Bob and myself, yeah, it's all right, I think it's good, is walk through the stages of what God did to make this church plant happen. I don't know how familiar a lot of you guys are on just how God works and how he moves in the world. Sometimes a person can get so caught up in their groove that they relegate God to non-existence because they never see him doing anything. Mm-hmm. And yet, there is a realm of awareness and existence where God is active, mm-hmm. and he is powerfully moving, and he's so real, he's so obvious to those in that sphere of living that the idea that there is no God is laughable. We don't mean to offend. It's just funny for us to think about the idea that God doesn't exist or something of that nature when we are experiencing him all the time. And so what we're going to do is we're going to follow this kind of pattern, how God spoke and led us to start this church, then how we obeyed God's voice, then how Jesus started saving people left and right. Jesus saves, he really does. Jesus saves. And then the last one is God leads and how he has led us to this point and where we are, some thoughts about the future of where God could be leading us. There's a lot here, so let me pray and we'll get into it. Lord Jesus, we want to start off our message by letting you know the depth of our gratitude for choosing us and using us to accomplish your great purposes on this planet. You have not gone on vacation. You're not too busy for us. You do what those songs we sang said you do. You love us. You love us, and you are working in and through our lives. And we stand here before you, God, this morning, and we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you have done. We honestly are amazed at you. Now bless the words that Bob and I share as we share the stories of what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to thank you, Jeremy, for these tuning things here. I'll try to stay on. Oh, okay. All right, thank you. Hey, our purpose here this morning is that you might be able to rejoice with us. Tim was saying God's been doing work. A lot of times people miss it. We want to share some of it. We can rejoice together in the work God has done in us, is doing in us, is planning to do through us. And so we've separated our thoughts on four main headings. God speaks first. He speaks to us. He calls. And for me, back in 2008... I was at a weekend retreat, a leader's retreat, out at a camp, about 15, 20 of us, and we spent some time alone, then we spent some time together just talking about how is Stone Brook doing, our mother church, how are we doing, where's God leading? So it was a really good weekend. We got to the end of that time, and Brad, who's here, Brad says, well, that about wraps it up. Unless anybody else has any big earth-shaking things to say. And Tim, with all soberness, says, well, I think I do. I think God spoke to me and wants me to start a church in Decorah. And we looked at him and said, Tim, why do you wait to the last minutes of our time together to drop that on us? Well, he had just heard it that morning. And so that was an immediate point of interest for me, though. And here's one reason why. A little girl named Jenny Larson, wouldn't you know it, was employee at the Iowa State Dairy Farm. And that was one of the areas of my management. And so I got to know Jenny. And Jenny had an interest in having me connect with some students at NICC here in Northeast Iowa. Can you imagine Jenny doing that? Yeah, you can. And the interest was that we might be able to have some connection in Nigeria with some agricultural things, gospel-related. I thought, this sounds interesting. So when Tim mentioned that, hey, I wonder if there's something going on here. And actually, nothing ever became of that. As far as the NICC bit went, I've talked to those folks a few times. Yukoni was his name, the Nigerian. But it just never got off the ground, but here I am. So it started me thinking, though, our church heritage is that over the last, the church started in Ames in about 1972 and became a Christian in 1973. And over the next quite a few years, we started sending out church plants. We have a chart of it. This is a 2004 chart. There are over a dozen sendings in that first round of arrows there. Over a dozen churches had been sent out by that time. And so I just thought, when's my time? When is my time? And that made me walk behind my barn, and I started thinking about Matthew 28 a lot. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go. Go. Everywhere. Go on everywhere in the whole earth and make disciples. That was God's start of call. Two things were on my mind. One was I didn't want my children to not see Dad and Mom going. I thought that would be really, that'd be a poor thing to leave for them. The other thing was, I think it's been my passion as long as I've been a believer, I just want, it's sort of like Moses with the burning bush, I just want to know, who is this God? And I knew him in the workplace, and I wanted to know him in a church plant. So those were my first callings.
Now, for those of you who know my lifeline, you would say, well, of course, the connection started because I grew up in this area. Well, not so much. I mean, I left here in 1984. I became a believer in Christ at Iowa State University. I stayed in Ames. I had no intention of coming back to Decorah. I mean, seriously, it just wasn't going to happen. But I had these little birds who kept chirping at me and asking me to do that very thing. Of course, my story really intersects right with Bob's with Jenny Larson. I'm not sure when she moved to Iowa State, but I know that before she even got unpacked, she asked for an audience with me so she could implore me to plant a church in Decorah. And I just said, girl, that's just not going to happen. I appreciate your ambition and all that, you know, and I care about the people too, not really, but yeah. I mean, it was Decorah. And so I appreciated her heart, but it was just not on the radar, people. But alongside Jenny was my mom and Andy, and I think I got pics. Feel free to, don't wait for us. Just assume that that we're talking about them and just throw them up there. And so they were asking for the same thing, finding themselves without a real solid church home here in Decorah, wanting to love the Lord and run hard after him, but knowing that God calls us into fellowship with other believers and to experience God together. And so they were also chirping at me, and I was like, leave me alone. I'm not going to be going to Decorah. Well, then the incident. It was March 2008. Thank you so much. March 2008. That's when I don't know what people think who don't believe in a God. They have to assume that there is a wide berth of humanity that suffers from schizophrenia. Because I was in this cabin, and I felt like I heard a voice. It wasn't audible like you're hearing mine, but it was as real and tangible as if it was like what you're hearing right now. And the voice said, go to Decorah. And I honestly thought it was some cruel joke. I figured I'd find Brad outside the door, just go to Decorah. You know, but no, he wasn't there. I looked. And so I said, okay, God, what is this all about? And that began our journey. Well, I wasn't so confident that I would be hearing God accurately. You know, I mean, if I'm reading the scriptures and it's a very clear command, you know, go do this, don't do that, I can handle that. I can say, okay, I understand that. But a voice in the head saying, go to Decorah, I wasn't going to presume that I understood God correctly or even that it was God. And so I submitted it before the brothers. That's why I brought it up there before Brad and the other guys, Dave. And they were invaluable to me in helping me figure out, is this voice really from God or not? And it took time. And we experimented about it. We prayed about it. We talked about it. We just like, well, God, what is this? Really? And then an incident occurred where I went to a wedding, and this guy, Jason Dietzenbach, who is also from the Cresco area originally, Jason Dietzenbach pulls me aside, and I said, you know, I wasn't going to tell you this, but my mother just told me that she had a dream that you started a church in Decorah. Now, I had three questions. One, who is this woman? You know? Two, why is she even dreaming about us planting a church in Decorah? And three, why is she dreaming about me at all? It's just a little creepy. Well, a similar incident happened with Bob, where a brother in Ames, Craig McClanahan, also had a dream that Bob was going to start a church in Decorah. And so he's like, okay, God, this is unfair. You know, now you're telling other people to tell us through dreams. All right, so it became clear to us that this is what God had in mind for us to do, and it really matches an experience that the Apostle Paul had in Acts. Acts 16, this is the first time this passage really became powerful to me. It said, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so after I got the, well, okay, I guess, from Kristen, then I knew God, that's when I concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel here, and so we decided to obey.
Yeah, which is the second heading, to obey, to respond. We had to respond. And for me, one thing that it meant was I'd be leaving a relative degree of comfort. I had been at Iowa State for over 20 years in the animal science department, and wage was sufficient. Everything looked good. My position was secure. But Jesus said, go. And I had to respond. And you know, one of the big wrestlings is always, well, what am I going to do up there? I mean, I should back up a little piece here. In 2008, I had a long desire to pastor, and I was kind of in a track where that was looking like it was going to happen. And when this came up, I thought, hey, maybe I can go and help Tim. And so I was ordained in April of 2009, so I thought, you know what? I could go up there. I'd need to be bivocational. I knew a church couldn't support me. So what am I going to do? And Matthew 6:33 became another good camp verse. Jesus said, what did he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of the things will be added to you. And I thought, well, you know what? It's not Iowa State who has been providing for me. It is God's been doing that. And he can provide there as well as he can here. But I decided I would need to, I thought I should start my own business just for flexibility. As a pastor, I wanted to be available. And my wife was willing to work for several months while I got this business thing going. She worked at Sodexo there at Luther. And now I have this business, called Inspector House Calls. If you need a house to inspect, let me know. If you have radon issue, let me know. God is blessed. I really have a business for most of Northeast Iowa, basically from about Highway 3 up into Minnesota a ways. So it's been a great ride.
Amen. And so this begins, when you obey God, it's got to start somewhere, and we have a series of firsts. Now, you know, I always had this kind of, you know, ethereal idea of the we were soldiers, where I'm the first one to step off the helicopter into Decorah, like, yeah, you know, and all that, but really, I was not the first one here. Everybody turn around and look at the girl standing behind Grace. Yep. That was the first, yeah. Darcy was the first one to come up to Decorah, to move up here, and she got a job at Bookends and Beans, if you remember that place, and she was the first one here. And then the first people to lead this church, again, it wasn't me. It was Adam, the guy behind that soundboard, and Andy. They were the first ones to lead this little group of believers here in the house that I was trying to buy. It's a long story on that one. But he was living there with his wife and kids, and they were leading the church. So they had this thing going before Bob and I even moved up here. Thanks, guys. That was awesome, actually. Amen. To step into something that was already had some traction on it. And then we had our first Decorah summer project. Some of you guys may remember that. Jonathan, were you part of that first one? You were not. Okay, but no, you not either. Laura? You were in the second one, yep.
ESDT.
Yeah, we had Luke and Holly Anderson up here with that first Decorah summer project. They pulled off the first Northern Lights Soccer League, and that was very effective. I mean, that really got us on the radar for a lot of people in Decorah. And so that was a huge effort and very beneficial. And then there's the first, I don't know what to call it, the first moment of insanity. Yes, the first moment of insanity was when I just decided to buy a business. You know, I mean, this was Mitch Greenberg. Some of you guys know him. He had this little teeny hole-in-the-wall game store, and he was selling it to go and take care of his dad, and I bought it. I thought, you know, it sounds like a good idea at the time. And so Rex and I, we conspired together, and we just said, let's go ahead and buy this thing, and that's the Game Exchange, which has become a significant outreach tool in the hands of God. We have met so many people. We have shared the gospel with so many people. In fact, raise your hand if you are primarily connected to Lifehouse through the game store. We got Ant back there, Brad, Jonathan, Dale. Yes, now Bryn, right? Bryn, Josh, Jeff. Yeah, we got Joe and Joey back there, the Moshers. Guys, that game store was like God, and he has used this little business to bless so many people's lives. It has really amazed me, and he continues to do it still. And so, wow, that was a move that I did simply because I read it in a book. And some of you guys know I don't read books very often. And now you know why. I do crazy things after reading them in a book, I tell you. Hey, you know, before I move on, I don't want to finish without saying something. I kept some of the key communications that I got from various ones in this initial church plant team. And I have an email from Adam Bauer when he made the final decision to move up here, and I wanted to read it to you. This is what he said. After spying out the land, I'm now 100% willing to give up all I have here and joyfully move up to Decorah to reach the lost with you and the rest of the group. That was Adam in an email. Amen. Amen. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And Adam is not alone. All of us who have moved up here sacrificed some significant things. And not much has been said here because it has been such a hard road. But I'm going to take this opportunity to embarrass my daughter, Nina, who sacrificed so much to be up here. You really did. A lot of your friends. And it's not been an easy road. And God is well aware of the sacrifices you have made to make this church happen. And I want to thank you for it. It makes me think of what Jesus said. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." That's how you know. It's like, do I love God? I know God loves me. He died on the cross for me. But do I love God? Jesus said, this is how you'll know. You will keep my commands. You'll do what I say. And so it's very evident to me with that initial church planting team, you guys love God. And that love has been tested. And you guys are passing the test. Yeah. It's a joy to be with you.
Amen. So God calls and we respond and God saves also. Next area we'd like to focus on is God saving people in Decorah. You know, we came up here sort of like the Apostle Paul. He said, I don't want to take the gospel where he's already named. I want to take the gospel where he has not been known yet. And that was Decorah for us. We wanted to help people find the Lord to be as holy as Isaiah's vision. I was just thinking about this. If you could put that up, Isaiah 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood around him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. And I just wanted us to focus here on what Isaiah responded. He said, Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. You know, this is the heart of repentance. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we didn't come to Decorah to find those who thought they were good enough, but to find people that the Bible says are all of us have fallen short, to find people who would admit it. All have sinned and fallen short of his holy, righteous standard. And it's only when you see the moral chasm between yourself and a holy God that you want to change. And that's repentance. That is really what we came up here for. So some of the first professions that we saw here were Jonathan Ayers and Todd Hilberg and Savannah and Anthony in the back there and Sarah Korfman. Yeah. Praise God.
Amen to that, right? Yeah, God started saving people left and right, and it was really exciting to see God capture lives and change lives. And he's still doing that, even recently, and I'll get to some of the recent salvations in a minute. But I've been oftentimes amazed at how many people up in this area are, we'd say, self-righteous. Mm-hmm. They think they're okay. Yeah. I'm fine. I'm a good person. I'm not an axe murderer, you know? I go to church on occasion. I'm okay, you know? And there's so much self-righteousness up here, and it makes me think of this verse where Paul said this to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians. It says, you want to throw up the 2 Corinthians real quick? Yeah, I'm going to jump to that first. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. What a strong admonition here. Right there in the Bible is saying, don't just presume that you're a Christian or that you're good enough. Or God just like, only, only I'm free. You know, everybody just come on in. Don't just be so arrogant as to assume that. Examine your heart. Test your heart. Say, whoa, God, am I right with you? What is it that you require of me? Well, what we require is repentance. To say, wow, you know, I have been living a life of sin. I have made an idol of myself, and I repent of that. That has nothing for me. It's only sucking the life right out of me. I need Christ. I need what he has offered. What he did on the cross is the sufficient payment for the penalty of sin. And to turn to Christ and to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone, everyone needs to make that declaration of faith. And that declaration then changes lives. How do you know? How would you know if you failed the test or not? How do you know? You read it in the context, your life changes. I mean, just think about it. If you actually believed that there is a God who came to earth and he died on the cross to pay for your sins, and that if you believe in him, you will be saved, what would you just like? Well, I guess I'll just, you know, go and catch a movie now. No, your life will be affected. You will be changed. In fact, the Bible says that Christ comes into you. Yes, it's true. All Christians are possessed by the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit gets into you, he changes your life. And so you will see evidence of change. And I've been very encouraged with some recent folks who have made just recent professions of faith and how evident change is in their lives already. One of them that was recent was Ariana. And he's like, Ariana, she's just a little girl. What's going to change in Ariana? I tell you something. Ariana shows up all the other kids with her willingness to work. Her willingness to serve and to help, it is amazing. And I think it's a God thing, because if you know kids, that's just not natural. Yeah. Ariana's life has been changing since she professed faith in Christ. We got Joe and Thelma and Joey. Looks like we got Joe left here. The other ones had to jet. But their lives are changing. They're turning to God as a solution to their problems rather than blaming him or just turning to empty options. Joe was over at the store Friday because he wanted to find God in the midst of his pain and his difficulty. That doesn't happen unless there's something going on inside your life that's driving you in that direction. And it's the Holy Spirit of God changing your guys' lives. And then we got Zach. You knew you were on the short list, right, Zach?
Yeah.
Got Zach. Zach, big, tough guy, you know, military man. He doesn't really need God until God made it clear that he really did. And he went through this, he'll have to share his story with you sometime, journey of wrestling with the reality of God, of how in the world is he interacting in this world, and letting him interact in his world, in his life. And Zach's life has been changing before my very eyes. He said, he was recently talking about, you used to not pray. Why would you pray to something that is not really there or doesn't really answer your prayers? Why pray? Well, now guy's saying he's praying all the time. Finds himself spontaneously praying. Wow, I think I've read that in the Bible somewhere. Pray without ceasing. Yeah, it's a sign of the Holy Spirit changing your lives. Guys, that's why we came up here. It wasn't to, like, you know, kind of show up the other churches or somehow, you know, do something crazy. It's to share the gospel with people's lives so that they could be changed inside and out, God giving them a life worth living and a life that doesn't end in death, but only continues on into eternity. And that's why we're here. And it has been one of the greatest joys of our church's existence.
Amen. So, God saves, God calls, God, we respond, God leads us also. You know, as I thought about this area, there are a couple verses in Acts that I wanted to put up here. This is Luke's writing about Paul and his compassion and his companions. Actually, it's just before the verses that Tim had up there. And they passed, that would be Paul and his companions, passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And what I wanted to point out from this is, you know, sometimes it's not real clear. God doesn't write it in a new letter to the church in Decora or the church in Ames. Go to Decora. You just try something. That's Tim Rude's motto in Des Moines. Just do something. Try something. Sometimes you try something and God has to redirect it. When we started, Adam and the gang started in Tim's house, 1002 Woodside Court. They were there a late fall of 2009 until January of 2010. And the funny thing was, the city kicked us out of Tim's own house. It's crazy. There's an ordinance, I guess, that you can't have a church in this town. Actually, I think that's still happening. I think there is a church in this town. We've had somebody visiting here, I think, who is in one of those churches. Anyway, for us, we didn't get to meet in Tim's house anymore. But just at that time, we had met JD at Americana Grill. He became a wonderful friend to us, and Club Pyramid, a big building there on 308 College Drive, had facilities in it both for a restaurant and sort of a party room. And we were able then from January of 2010, and for a little over a year, we met there at Club Pyramid. And the arrangement was we could have every Sunday. And then any other day that we needed it, that it wasn't being used by JD for something else, which was quite a few days. So we had classes there, and we had organized things, you know, when we did our county outreaches, we would meet there and get our materials ready. There were a number of parties we had there. It was a very useful facility for us. But in 2010, a couple things were becoming apparent. One was it really wasn't the family-oriented place that we kind of needed. It was difficult doing child care and that kind of thing. Kids would be shuttled off into a kitchen area, and it was kind of loud back there and kind of dirty back there. And didn't have a real classroom for a Sunday school kind of thing. So a couple of things kind of came together, and we decided, you know what? I think God is leading us on. And about that time, we thought about St. Ben's again. We hadn't had a real positive relationship with them before, but at this time, we tried again, and it was a win. And over the last 4 years, it's been a delight to be here, really. We have gained the respect of St. Ben's. There were some rough times. We do crazy things, and sometimes crazy things have crazy results, and we got scolded for a few things like that, and that has worked to show them, no, we're not running our own boat here. You're accommodating us. We're your guests. We're willing to bend. We're willing to make this work. And we have two great friends right now in St. Ben's, and one is Christy Meyer back there in the office. She's the secretary here. She's quite an administrator. We talk with her often. And the other is Kenny White back here, the custodian. As far as using the facilities, Kenny's been great to work with. We got a trailer, and the city says we can't park that on the street either. And Kenny's made arrangements for us. In the summer, we park in the parking lot. In the winter, we park on the lawn so he can plow snow. I'm just saying God has been gracious to us with this find. Luke even said if you wanted to hear a message twice, come here, because the echo kind of was something to deal with for a while. But, you know, I think Adam's made some adjustments. We don't have the echo that we did. We hung more stuff up to absorb things. So that's how God has led us so far. We're not done moving.
And God has really led our church to do some very unusual things. One of them is this idea to take the gospel to every county in the upper northeast Iowa. Why we weren't satisfied with just Decorah, I don't know. But so we have been taking the gospel to not just Winnesee County, but all the counties surrounding us. And we have one left, which is Chickasaw County. And we've just been delivering the gospel there in these bags, door hanger bags with tracts and stuff. Many of you guys have been a part of this. Wild idea. to go down these dirty, dusty roads to some lonely farmhouse and put a door hanger bag of gospel literature on the door. I think that for some of these farmers, it was the first time they've ever had somebody visit them. I mean, they are way out there in like no man's land. And so, but we've been doing that. And we've also, when we were doing some of our investigative stuff, we went to the county fair. And there's this church that had a booth there. And I go, oh yeah, that's cool. We see these in Des Moines all the time. He goes, well, we're actually from West Union. And we found out that a church has never had a booth at the Winnesheek County Fair. And so we decided to rally our people and come up here and get one going. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. So since then, we have had a booth at the Winnesheek County Fair every year, and we don't plan on stopping either. And then we continued what was going on with the Decorah Summer Project, the Northern Lights Soccer League. And this summer, we're going to intensify it on just a weekend, Northern Lights Soccer Weekend. And we'll have more information coming on that, but we're really excited about this opportunity to make it something manageable for families and manageable for our family, this family, to do it on a weekend. And so we got that planned. Then there's Nordic Fest, and we've had this Too Much Rock for One Truck thing. We've had Northern Lights Soccer League parades. Now this, with our Northern Lights Soccer League just being one weekend, we're kind of wondering, what should we do with the Nordic Fest parade? I still don't know. And so you guys need to like leak me some ideas saying, oh, this would be like the best thing ever in a parade. Let us know, because I think it is totally awesome that we are the only church.
And there's another one.
There's one other church. We're one of two churches that are in the Nordic Fest parade. And we want to continue to be there. So definitely, guys, let us know. Last thing is these overseas missions. How interesting it was that this little church, this little blip on the map, would have sent a team to Nepal just weeks before a devastating earthquake. Mm-hmm. 4,000 plus people lost their lives. Wow. And so it's not good. But we've got a work going on there. We, through the Great Commission churches, and the need is great. That country is not just in shock from the devastating earthquake, but really they're in shock from the shackles of Hinduism that has enslaved the people there for way too long and has kept that country in abject poverty. And Christ can set them free. And they're hungry for something better. They're hungry for something real, a God that can actually answer their prayers. And so we are thinking here fairly seriously about basically adopting the country of Nepal and sending a team there every March spring break time zone. So be in prayer about that, because that is the direction we feel God is taking us. You know, I was looking through all of our information about our church and about all the stuff that we did to get this thing going, and I came across a phrase about our church's vision. And this is what we wrote down. This is our vision. And I don't think I put it. Did I put the vision in there? Yeah. Vision. Build a church where people will drive for miles to be a part of a loving, obedient, dynamic, genuine community of Christ followers. You know, that's still our vision. That's still what we're all about. No matter what we do tomorrow or next year, that's the goal. To represent Christ so well in this city, in this area, that people will be thinking about it and talking about it and will sacrifice to be a part of it. Now, we also have a dream of starting little satellite churches in each of the county seats surrounding Decorah. But that will take time. This can happen, and it can happen rather quickly. And so be in prayer that God will hear our prayer and will bless us with the fulfillment of that vision. It makes me think of God's ultimate goal, God's ultimate landing point. is revealed for us in Revelation 7:9, where he says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, nation, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." That's the day that God is looking forward to. And that is something that we want to cooperate with God on, is to help that vision, God's vision, be fulfilled. So that is what God is doing. And how about we pray? And I know that some of you guys are already starting to feel a little rumbling in the tumbling. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right to that. Lord Jesus, we love you back. You loved us first. You loved us when we were enemies of the cross. We were giving you the finger. But God, you loved us. You loved us. And you came to earth and you died for us on the cross. And how awesome is that love? And we know, God, that what you did for us, you want to do for every living human being on the planet. You want everyone to know you, to humble themselves and to repent and to put their faith and trust in you and find just how real, how awesome this God is, how great our God is. And Lord Jesus, we want to cooperate with that. We know it will mean suffering. We know it will mean pain. But I tell you, Lord, there is no better life. There is no better life than the one lived in the center of your will. And that's where we want to be. And come 5 years from now, God, that's what we want to declare again, is that we are still here in the center of God's will. In Jesus' name, amen.